I am Plata on the Line in Vancouver, British Columbia at thecommentary.ca. Shalene Knight joins me now. The award-winning author is the curator of Growing Room. I'll get her to preview the over 50 events featuring over 100 authors. Growing Room is North America's only feminist literary festival and features writers from across the continent discussing and highlighting literature, as well as diverse voices through readings, debate, and performance. There will be a burlesque performance and dance party, panels on Indigenous writing, the politics of the body, comedy, as well as journalism. There'll be a launch for the collection Whatever Gets You Through, edited by Jen Sukfung Lee and Stacey May Fowles. There'll be poetry slam showcases, as well as panels featuring Black voices, Asians, as well as young and emerging writers. The list of authors participating is tremendous. Visit festival.roommagazine.com for the lineups, as well as how to make reservations, as a lot of these events are surely to be at capacity. Growing Room is on the 8th through the 17th of March. Shalene Knight received the 2018 City of Vancouver Book Award for her memoir, Dear Current Occupant. She is also the author of the poetry collection, Braided Skin. Visit ShaleneKnight.com. Her Twitter handle is at PoetShalene. Please welcome to the Plant Online program, Shalene Knight. Ms. Knight, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Pretty good. Yourself?
Good. Thank you.
We're speaking a couple of weeks before the festival begins, so it must be a very busy time, is it?
Oh, it's incredibly busy. I think we tend to forget how much admin work there is leading up to the festival. So we're all pretty busy, but loving it.
Yeah, and so this is the third year. And what's really astonished me year to year, having observed this from afar, is just the tremendous lineup the lineup of writers that attend or that are participating in events throughout the festival, and this year's no exception. It just seems like it's a bigger year than the previous two, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think programming is really the core of any literary festival, and Growing Room is no exception. You know, we spend a good 4 months just sitting and talking about authors and talking about ethics and support and how can we make safe spaces. So we do spend a lot of time thinking about not only what authors to invite, but how they're going to interact once they're in the same space and how they're going to engage with the audience. So we really put a lot of thought and work and time into programming.
Yeah, it's not just, say, getting four or five people together.
Right.
And having them appear. I was looking at some of the lineups. There's really a lot of thought into when you have certain authors together. Just how enjoyable it'll be, or how you expect it to be for the audience, right?
Mm-hmm. And that's everything, too, because we look at this festival as not only a space for folks to come and listen to established authors and emerging authors. We're looking at creating that idea of mentorship. So we look at, you know, including manuscript consults and workshops, and how can we best use this space and this time to not only amplify voices, but to foster new voices, right? And those new up-and-coming writers and artists. So we hope that Growing Room is slowly being known for that.
We'll talk about the name of the festival, Growing Room, because I think it's a wonderful name. But the room part of it, for people unfamiliar, that's a magazine, right?
That's right, yes.
And have you been involved with them previous
yes.
to all this?
Yeah, I've started volunteering for Room Magazine in 2013, and that's really how all of this started, so for me anyway. So I started out as a volunteer, just reading submissions for the magazine and slowly, you know, taking on more work. And then when Megan Bell, Room's publisher, had the idea for the festival, that's when everything just started growing, you know. So we're like, oh, Growing and Room. Okay, how about Growing Room? I think it just kind of came to us pretty quickly, the name for the festival. So I love it. I think it's great.
Yeah, it's a great magazine for showcasing writers that otherwise wouldn't get published, say, elsewhere. The other thing about the name of the thing, Growing, it really is about fostering, say, these new voices, marginalized voices, as well as emerging voices, right?
That's right. And just think about, you know, the change that's happening with Can Lit anyway.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so many magazines are just, you know, static, and they've reached this level of, okay, this is where we are. We're not really going to do much more. And I think Room Magazine is constantly talking about, okay, well, what do we need to change now? What's no longer working? So we try to pay respect to the foundation that was laid you know, in 1975 when the magazine first started, but we're constantly challenging those templates and saying, well, maybe this doesn't work now, and why is that? Let's talk about it.
Yeah, you mentioned the great change that's going on in CanLit and elsewhere. Well, what is because you're a writer who's published a book of poetry and a memoir, mm-hmm. the memoir to great acclaim. What is this upheaval in CanLit and in particular what's happened here in Vancouver? What has that meant to you?
Well, for me, it's been kind of scary as a newer writer. I still consider myself to be a newer writer and trying to figure out how to navigate that terrain, you know, what conversations to latch on to, what conversations to kind of shy away from, and then once you're in those conversations, what can you say? You know, we think about kind of building these careers, but our online imprint is forever. You know, if we latch on to a conversation that maybe wasn't the best idea, what are the repercussions of that? So constantly questioning where are our places and what stories are ours, I think that's really the main, that's the core of a lot of the conflict, is just, you know, what stories are ours, what can we talk about? And but I'm really looking at things now in terms of less about what can't we talk, what stories need to be heard. And I think that's where that shift is starting to occur, where now we're recognizing that, hey, you know, there's people who might not have a published book, but they've got an important story. So why don't we go ahead and include them in a festival that they might not otherwise be asked to participate in? So we're looking at folks who have stories that need to be amplified in different ways versus just on the page. So we're really kind of branching out in that way and looking at slam poetry and looking at oral storytelling and looking at visual arts and academia, just so many different ways of folks getting their stories out there.
Have the gatekeepers in this town, in this community, have they changed at all, do you think? I mean, they have in certain aspects, but in terms of, the path to publishing, if you will, has that changed a great deal?
Mm-hmm. I think it has a little bit. I think it starts with the literary magazines and how much we talk to each other. Mm-hmm. So even, you know, at that level versus the book publishing level, you know, I like to say that a lot of the shifts and changes will occur as soon as the power shifts and change. So, you know, I look at these small independent publishers, and we have quite a few in Vancouver and surrounding areas, right? Mm-hmm. I kind of see these small independent publishers as mini gatekeepers for a lot of us. You know, writing and just starting out, these folks can talk to the bigger publishing houses and say, hey, you know, we've got this story that we know might not be marketable in the way that you traditionally consider it to be marketable, but just being that in between and saying, hey, this story is really important, and as an independent publisher, I want you to take a look at it, you know? So just having somebody that's going to go to bat for us and go to bat for these different stories, I think that's where the shifts and the changes are really going to occur, and really just challenging what literature is, you know? Even that idea that I think so much communication now takes place online, and that's really changing the way that we tell stories.
And these various changes in the culture that we've talked about already these last few minutes, how does the future look like for you? I mean, do you think that CanLit or VanLit even will be a lot different 2-3 years down the road than it has been the last 10, say?
I think it definitely will be. And again, it all comes down to that idea of storytelling, but also creating space. And creating safe space, which again, I think Growing Room is really focusing on. So how do we make a space where folks feel like not only are they going to be heard and listened to, but the words that they put out there in the air are then going to be spread, you know, like these seeds kind of flowing in the wind or whatever, you know? So I think of not just having the conversation stop once the festival has come to its last day, but to take everything that's been learned and said and take that elsewhere and spread it. You know, so I like the idea of growing, and that's why I think the name is so fitting, because we're always looking at how do we take what we've created and make it bigger and better and share it and constantly reevaluate what needs to be changed or what needs to be focused on more next year. So,
I'd like to touch on some of the events here as part of Growing Room 2019. Jackie Pierre has contributed to this website for a number of years now. I understand her daughter Simone is participating in an event that features younger voices. Is that correct?
Yes, so this year we decided to have two youth readings. So we're going to have a youth reading and then an Indigenous youth reading through Indigenous Brilliance. But yeah, Simone will be participating in, I think, the first youth reading. And yeah, her voice is, that's what I mean by having these powerful voices that need that space to be amplified. And Simone actually read for me when I did my Vancouver launch for Dear Current Occupant. Mm-hmm. So I had her as my opening reader, and I was just like, you know, transported back to being age and thinking, my God, what if I had this space at 15 or 16 years old to fill a room and my writing, share my stories? What would that have done for me at that age? And I can't even imagine. So I'm always looking, you know, to the youth because, you know, when things are said and done, these are the folks that are going to be the new Can Lit, right? So we've got to give them space now and just to let them know that their stories are just as important.
Is the giving back that you obviously do, the mentorship, and that, I see this when I read you on Twitter and the sort, showcasing and championing young writers as you do new writers, is that important to you?
It's very important to me, you know, as a writer and as a Black female navigating this crazy terrain, I always look back to the things that I wish that I had as a younger writer and the people that I wish I had in my corner. And when I look back, you know, I was doing this alone. I didn't have any support systems. I didn't have any writing groups. You know, there was nothing until I was in my mid-20s. And so I'm like, my God, how easy is it just to say, hey, here's this space. I'm gonna occupy it with you, but I'm going to be quiet, and I'm going to let you speak. So it's that idea of just sharing the microphone just for a second, you know, and that can be life-changing. It can be absolutely life-changing.
And that's the spirit, isn't it, of this whole festival, Growing Room? I mean, you embody it in yourself and your work and your practice, but there are a lot of people like you, and they're all part of this, aren't they?
That's right. And, you know, so many of us are just volunteers whipping this thing together, you know, and it's so amazing to see everybody come together and the programming committee being so passionate about sharing what they know and all the volunteers that come on. You know, we get over 100 volunteers. This year we have around 100. Mm-hmm. And these are folks who are just interested in sharing that space. You know, they don't want anything out of it except for, hey, I was part of this and I made this festival happen. Because without the volunteers, I mean, this is not going to go down. So it's really great that everyone kind of comes together and that they're open to learning and growing with us. Because, you know, we're not pros. This is year three and we will make some mistakes. But, you know, we always go back and reevaluate and see how we can do better for next year.
A book that a lot of people are looking forward to is Whatever Gets You Through. And it's a collection that's edited by Jen Suk-Fung Lee and Stacey May Fowles. And that has its, launch during the festival. Is that correct?
That's right. Yeah, we're going to have a launch for that anthology. And that's going to be a really powerful reading, you know, and just the powerhouses that published in that anthology. Mm-hmm. Like Jen Suk-Fung Lee is one of those writers who, you know, give her any form and she's going to blow it out the water. Like, all of her writing is just incredible. Her fiction, she's got a book, I believe. You know, she writes everything. Yeah. And I think we need writers like that who can kind of cross genres and say, hey, well, my story today fits in this genre, so I'm going to go ahead and write it that way. So she kind of embodies that idea of, by any means necessary, you know, getting your story out in whatever form. So I think this is going to be a really great event, and it's going to change some games, I think. You know, there's going to be that idea of permission where, you know, oh, I've heard this big writer share this incredible story. I feel empowered now to go ahead and do the same. And for me, that's what good writing can do. You know, you put it out there, somebody latches onto something, and now they feel like they can share their story. I love that.
Yeah, there are also panels on the state of journalism, which I think a lot of people will find interesting, especially with what's going on in the world today. What else are you looking forward to in these? It's almost 2 weeks of events, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's 10 days, and I'm looking forward to so many things. But I want to say that I'm especially excited about the Black Voices Raised reading. Mm. You know, we're going to have Whitney French, we're going to have Robin Maynard. It's going to be absolutely beautiful. But I think my heart and soul is just pounding, waiting for that reflective keynote with Kenesia Lubrin at the end of the festival. Because this is the first time we're going to have a keynote, but also just to have a voice as strong as Kenesia's and kind of hold it down and tie the whole festival together is really, really going to be exciting.
I alluded to a moment ago your work and how you write, and as I said, I follow you on Twitter, and what I find fascinating when you talk about the struggle about being a writer, and I would assume that social media is probably more of a distraction than anything else, but have you found it helpful at all as you write?
Incredibly helpful. To me, it's like this is my family. You know, I grew up in a family of professional athletes, and sports is kind of everything. So here you have this odd writer, and so I feel like when I go on Twitter, that's kind of my niche. That's my place to really not only share my writing, but kind of say, hey, I need help with this. Let's see who latches on. You know, I love that. So, I mean, there's a lot of toxic things, and there's a lot of different social media stuff happening, but yeah. I try to veer away and just kind of stick to the positive and the uplifting and how can I help and how can people help me. And so for me, social media is kind of fun, and it's definitely helped my writing.
Now, you've worked in different genres. I understand you're writing a novel now. I mentioned the memoir and the collection of poetry previous to all this. When you are writing and you have to, because you're also writing other things, obviously, than your own work, how does your mind work? I mean, if you're writing poetry as opposed to, say, prose, is that a different, say, mindset that you're in?
They are polar opposites. When I'm writing poetry, you know, I can just kind of have music in the background. I can be distracted. I don't know why. But when I'm writing fiction, I need, like, a dark room. Everyone's got to leave. I need to be, it's a very specific mindset, and I feel utterly exhausted after I write a paragraph, you know, and it's just, I can't explain it, but there it is, and I'm like, ooh, I need an hour break now, whereas the poetry kind of flows out in these nice kind of wafts of words. It's really, really interesting. And then creative nonfiction, I mean, that's a whole other world in itself that I have no answer for.
And so you're working on a novel now, is that right?
I am, yes. It's entitled Junie, and it's a historical novel, so it's set in Vancouver's Hogan Valley, where there was a high concentration of black folks living there. So it's about this artist, and she struggles with her sexuality, she struggles within her family, and at the same time kind of watching her community crumble, right? So it's kind of interesting, but it's taking me a long time to piece together, but, you know, I'm okay with that process.
And it's a timely subject, isn't it, because of what's happening in that area now?
That's right, yeah. So it kind of fits, and hopefully I can finish it next few months, but we'll see.
Well, we'll look forward to that. The reaction to Dear Current Occupant, I mean, that was tremendous, really successful. Will you continue to write, say, memoir?
Oh, I would love to continue doing that. You know, that was quite the experience. I was not expecting all the attention that the book would get because, again, it's the idea of the hybrid genre and writing my story authentically, but it didn't fit a template. So I was like, no one's going to pay attention to this. But it was quite the opposite. So it's that power of writing your story authentically and just throwing it out into the world and hoping that somebody grabs a hold.
It's been a pleasure speaking with you. I've been an admirer of your work over the last number of years. And when they asked if I'd talk to you about Growing Room, I couldn't wait for the chance because it is a wonderful, as you said, 10 days, over 100 events. Over 50 events with over 100 writers, right?
That's right.
Yeah. So I appreciate your time today. Thanks for this and all the best.
Oh, thank you so much.
Visit ShaleenKnight.com and then the website for Growing Room. The 8th through the 17th of March is festival.roommagazine.com. Shalene Knight, join me on the line from here in Vancouver. I'm Joseph Planta.